Good morning, church. It's a great day to be together, and I still use that term because, as Bob mentioned, we are still together in spirit. And so, first off, I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent well wishes and cards, prayed on my behalf and our behalf as my family over the injury that I had to my ankle. You know, that's, as Bob mentioned, it is heartwarming when you receive that that type of support in that situation. So thank you on behalf of myself and my family. It's kind of fitting, although I wouldn't go back and replay it the same way had I known what was going to happen, but it's kind of fitting that it happened, and then in line with what I wanted to talk about this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is how to weather storms. And so right now, I'm going through what we might classify as a storm. We talk about the storms of life may be raging. It's a term that we've heard before. But there are many different types of storms that we can go through. And we classify difficult situations in life, different struggles that we have as going through a storm ourselves. And we're actually in an odd situation. You know, with my foot, I'm going through this. It's my own storm, you know, to go with, having to deal with and maneuver around the injury. But we're all in a position where we're going through the same storm together, at least one. Now, some may be going through others, individual storms, as we might call them. And so it's just compounded the issue. But with this calamity that is COVID-19, we can relate to at least one storm that we're trying to traverse right now and figure out our way through. So it's something that we can relate to. But sometimes going through a storm, it can mean going through a physical storm. A few years back, you may remember the tornado that we had in Sand Springs, and was very surprised. I think in my lifetime, that's the only one I know of that went through the town, through the city, and other areas. You know, Oklahoma's known for tornadoes. We've always been very fortunate, but this one hit a little too close to home, and we know the destruction that was left behind from that tornado, that physical storm. And then unless you're new to the state, new to the planet, under 5 years of age, or lived under a rock, you remember the flood of 2019. So we know what kind of devastation that left. And many of you who, again, with that type of service, that Christ-like attitude, many of you who served in the disaster relief effort that we put on, thanks to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief based out of Tennessee, you were able to see firsthand the devastation that that type of a storm could cause. Homes were destroyed. Families were displaced. Relationships were put to the test, and some broken, and we even saw faith that was wavering. So we know what type of devastation, you know, a physical storm might bring. But then this term is also used figuratively, you know, when one may lose a job, when a loved one is lost, when you're diagnosed with a disease, when you're dealing with anxiety or depression, a falling out with a family member, that may be, you know, a term, you know, I'm going through a really rough patch right now. So how do I make it through that? One thing to remember is that storms cannot be controlled. You know, we've come a long way in the meteorological field regarding our technologies, regarding how we can predict, how we can plan for storms, how we can track them. But even with all of those technologies, we still cannot control that storm. If any of you are movie enthusiasts like me, you may remember back in the 90s, I was a young kid, a movie that came out called Twister. And for me, that was probably a bad idea to watch it. I enjoy it now, but I wasn't particularly fond of storms growing up. And so when I saw that, it helped me, I guess, realize how quickly a storm might pop up. And for you phobia enthusiasts also out there, in case you didn't know, astrophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning, most commonly referred to when someone has a fear of storms. But then even one step further, lapsophobia is the fear of more specifically tornadoes and hurricanes. Now, I don't know if say that I would go that far that I had a phobia of them, but Storms and I didn't get along as a kid, and in the same way as we become adults and we deal with the more figurative types of storms, we don't get along, and sometimes we don't act or know how to act and how to overcome those storms. But talking about how quick storms could pop up, I remember whenever I was a kid, my parents took my brothers and I to go watch a movie at the movie theater, and for us that was a big treat. And we got to go watch 101 Dalmatians, the live-action version. It was pretty spectacular. But I remember as a kid going in, not having any fears, any concerns. I'm pretty sure it was a clear day, may have been partly cloudy, didn't really pay attention. But I knew the moment that we came out, it was dark, and it was that eerie dark. I was about 8 or 9 years old, I think. And I knew that something didn't feel right. And if any of you grew up in Oklahoma, tracking severe weather, you know the most horrible sound that a young child can hear when getting in the car is when the parents turn to KRNG and that severe weather chime comes on. I don't know what they're saying. The term hook echo wasn't even around back then, I don't think, but I knew when I heard that, I knew we were in for it. Something's happening and it's not good. But in those storms, whether they pop up immediately out of nowhere or whether we kind of see them coming, one of the first things that we can do is realize that we cannot control the storm, but we can control our actions through the storm and in the storm and what we rely on. God never says that we're going to be able to control the storm. He never even says or promises that He will remove the storms from our life. What He promises is that if we rely on Him for our strength and our peace and security, then He will see us through it. He will not leave us. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis in the 6th chapter if you have them. We're going to be reading starting in verse 13. It said, "And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch." Now, Noah was blessed in that he had warning for this storm. But still, what an event to be told that the end of all life as you know it is coming. Trust in me, build this massive ark that, and for years he spent building this. And what we can only imagine what type of mockery, you know, was made of him. You know, there's Noah getting ready for this storm that's going to happen. What, this rain falling from the sky? You know, he's still out there building it, and the world yet continued to live in their sin and in violence and darkness. But Noah trusted in God and in God's plan, and was able to weather the storm. Now, Noah, oftentimes one little tidbit that we miss, Noah, I used to think he was in the boat for 40 days and 40 nights, but that's how long it rained. Noah was in the boat for over a year with his family. Now, we're talking about quarantine right now, and you've been with your family for a month or 2 months, and nobody's judging the thoughts that you're having. You know, you need to turn away and repent, but some people's true colors are coming out, and it's only been a month or two. So imagine being with your family for over a year. And there wasn't any Wi-Fi in the boat. He forgot to hook that up before he took off. But in the next chapter, I want to read in verse 16. It says, "And those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in." Even if your only option is the storm, maybe you don't get advance notice and you don't go out and have time to build an ark to weather yourself through this figurative storm. Obviously, ideally, you would want to train, as we've mentioned in the past, train for these storms and read God's word and build your life up in your faith and your trust in God to be ready for whatever storm may come. But even if you don't have that time to build this ark, if your only option is to hunker down in this storm, if your security and your peace lies in God to bring you through it, and God shuts you in, you will be protected through that storm, even if just spiritually. And as the creator of all things, we need to remind ourselves and remember that he has power over the storms, whether physical or spiritual. He created everything. And these things are not out of his control. In the book of Matthew, in the 8th chapter, verse 26, we remember the story on the Sea of Galilee of the waves raging and going through a storm and the disciples being so afraid. And he, and in verse 26, it says, "And he said to them," this is Jesus, "why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. One problem that we face as Christians is we focus too much on the problem. And in our minds, we make it so big that it appears to be bigger than our God and what our God can do. And so when we focus on that, I wonder some of the trials that we've gone through and the way that we've acted and how we have handled ourselves and how we've become feeling hopeless, I wonder if God would say to me, "Oh, you of little faith, you know, why are you so scared? Why are you so frightened? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I have done and what I can do for you? Where you can find your peace?" We need to know and we need to remind ourselves that our God is bigger than any problem that we may ever face currently or going forward. You know, we think right now, some of us, everyone's unsure about what's going to happen, when we're going to reopen, you know, what this has done, but it feels like on a global scale, at which it is, that things are uncertain, and wow, this seems like it's the worst thing that's ever happened. But at one point in time, remember, as we just read, the whole entire earth was wiped out, all flesh, and God protected Noah because he was the only one righteous. So those righteous followers of God, he will see us through the storms in our life. So this peace that I've been talking about, where do we find that peace? And we need to know that Jesus is our source of peace. In him we can trust the promise that he gives, that new covenant. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. And this is in a time when Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for a time when he won't be with them. And so in verse 27 it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." If we find peace in the world, notice he says it a couple of times, "Peace I leave with you, and adds to that, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." So if we find peace in the world, we're going to be let down. The world is temporal. The world is physical. It's not made to last. And the peace that the world gives is conditional. As long as everything is fine, we can have peace. As long as you do what I ask, we can have peace. As long as you say the right things to those people, you'll have peace with them. And as long as you have enough money, if you have the right car, if you have the right job, if you live in the right neighborhood, you'll have peace with certain individuals. There are stipulations on the peace that we can get from the world, because the peace from the world makes sense. If we like the same football team, if we like OU, Ellie and I, we have peace. There's been no difficulty working here in the office because we both like OU. Now, if he had a bunch of OSU stuff all over his office and we had OU, we wouldn't have that physical, worldly peace. He may find some letters, a certain middle letter marked out of certain items in his office. And it's taken all that I have not to jack with his degree that he's got hanging on the wall that's from a certain institution that does not coincide with the one that but we're going to leave it. I haven't done anything. We can still find a way. God tells me to have peace with him. But Christ's peace is unconditional. It doesn't make sense. When we're grounded in Christ, we can receive the peace that passes all understanding. In a time when everything seems to be crumbling around you, when difficulties at every turn, uncertainty is all around, we can have a peace that doesn't make sense, but is so powerful that we are calm in the storm. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Why do you think he mentions here minds and heart? Your minds and your heart. So how we feel, the thoughts that we have, all of that will be guarded by his peace, because we may be in the right mind, but we feel scared, we feel worried and frightened, or we don't feel much, but our thoughts are racing and we're thinking in ways that we shouldn't be. Christ's peace will guard us. And back up just one verse into verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Sometimes we read that a little differently. We have a worldly Philippians 4:6 that we read, and it may go something like this. Now, disclaimer, this is not scriptural, but this is sometimes the way we act. You would think it read this way. "Try not to be anxious about anything, but in most situations, by prayer and petition and hard work and blood, sweat, and tears, with thanksgiving and a small portion of grumbling, present a handful of your requests to God." Sometimes that's an accurate display of our trust in God, but that's not what it says here. It says, don't be anxious about anything. That means whether it's a virus, whether it's a loss of a job, don't be anxious about anything. And in every situation, not just some, not just part of the time, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, we talked about Noah earlier, and I'd like to make another point about that situation, was the ark did not have any life rafts. There weren't any escape boats. There weren't even any little lifesavers to throw out, you know, for somebody to be overboard. One, God shut them in, but God protected them. There was no contingency plan needed. Why is it that when we face troubling times, and even if we do rely on God, part of the time, hesitantly, we still try and fix it ourselves first or during the process? It's almost like saying, God, I really, for the most part, pretty much trust you, but just in case, I'm going to bring along this lifeboat. Because, I mean, you know, you can do all things, and you know, I trust you to carry me through my spirit and guide me through this, but you know, just in case, I got this way out. I got this really good solution if things don't work out. The problem with that can be sometimes we may jump to that escape plan, that escape pod, that lifeboat before God's plan for us is finished. You know, we think at the time that we need to preserve our physical, that we're just wired that way. It's natural. We want to protect ourselves, and we're not sometimes too focused on the spiritual. And as we've seen throughout countless stories in the Bible, we know that God's plan was always to preserve the spirit and to provide that relationship and continue on the spirit and the soul. And so we may need to build up our spiritual character, our trust muscles, as Elliot has preached on in the past. That is more important for us to rely on God than to try and preserve our physical at times. God had promised Abraham a son. And because that son didn't come in a timely manner to Abraham, he took matters into his own hands. And so the plan that God had for him, although it came about, Abraham took the reins and tried to control things instead of leaving it in God's hands. And sometimes when our prayers aren't answered in the way, in the time that we want, we too try and pull those reins back in. But as stated, in every situation, being anxious about nothing, God is wanting us to give all of those things to him. So remember these things when you may face a storm in your life. We need to realize who is in control, because it's not us. We're not in control. Most of the time, we are there, and it's our actions in that moment that we can control. We need to realize that God is bigger than our problems. We need to focus on Him and not the problem. Sometimes I'm reminded of those pictures you can take where the focus is on one object you're taking with your phone or a newer camera, and you can edit it to where everything behind it becomes blurry. And sometimes our focus is off. Our focus is clear on the big problems, but on our God, it's a little bit blurry. And that's one thing that we can rein in. We need to understand and remember that Jesus is the source of peace. The world gives us conditional peace that makes sense, and Christ's peace passes all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in those difficult situations. We need to remember to trust God fully. That means no contingencies, as much as we want to take those reins back or have a way out for ourselves. We need to be fully trusting in Him. And then last, we need to praise Him when our storms are over. So many times we even get down on our knees in prayer in difficult times and in frustrating circumstances, and we feel like there's no hope. And when times are bad, we feel like we're putting all our trust in Him. But when He carries us through and we're on the other side of that storm, we need to remember who it was that took us through that storm, that carried us safely through. It's a great way to build your faith and to build the faith of others around you when they know of you going through something so difficult, through different diseases, through job loss, through whatever, anxieties, depression. When you're seen to the other side, are you going to praise yourself and take pride in how you overcame that situation? Or are we going to give the thanks to God and understand who brought us through that difficult situation? In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Church, there is a peace that we can have that cannot be comprehended, but it can be grasped. And the last verse I want to leave you with today is, again, as Jesus is still talking to His disciples before He's gone, talking about a Holy Spirit that will be there for them, that He will go, but they won't be alone. In verse 33 in the book of John, chapter 16, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." The Christian who trusts in God and looks to God in every situation can have that peace that passes understanding. I really like how one of our song leaders, how Joe Anderson, sometimes he will give a little tidbit of a song that we sing, who it was written by, what was going on during that time, when it was written, and it just brings a little bit more, a little something else added to that song as we sing it. And for those of you who may have heard this from him, and may not, I felt like it was fitting, but I want to read a little story to you, and then I will leave this sermon with you. In 1871, a successful businessman and lawyer lost all of his material possessions in the Great Chicago Fire. His son also died at that time, around that time, of scarlet fever. This did not trouble Horatio Gates Spafford very much, for he had set his affection on things above. However, 2 years later, when his wife and children were on board the Ville du Havre en route to France, their ship was rammed by an English vessel and sank, claiming the lives of 226 people. Although his wife survived, his four children, his four daughters, perished in the icy waters. The man was given the tragic news and later, on his way across the mid-Atlantic, was shown the spot where the shipwreck had occurred. And although heartsick with grief, Mr. Spafford suddenly felt an inrush of supernatural peace and comfort as he looked to the Lord for strength. With tears streaming down his face, he picked up a pen to record his feelings, and from his well-blessed heart flowed these thrilling words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we are thankful for your love and your grace that you give to us. This morning especially, we are thankful for the peace that you can give to us in difficult times. In times when we feel like sometimes there's nowhere to turn, there's no one to turn to. We don't know what our physical future holds, but we're thankful that your peace will guard our hearts and our minds to know that spiritually nothing can be done to us, that we can have protection, we can have peace through the figurative or the physical storms that we may go through in our life. We're thankful that your peace passes our own understanding, that in the darkness we can look to you to be our light and guide us, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, and our actions. I pray that you would help us to lean on you, fully trusting in you and our God and the Holy Spirit to protect us, to shut us in, and guide us through the life that we live. I pray for anyone who is dealing with anxiety and depression, especially during this time, that your peace would be on them and that they would look to you for that comfort. God, we are thankful for so many who are there with us, who are aids helping to do your work as servants through difficult times that we face. So as they serve in a way that lifts others up, I pray that you would bless them and help us to be more like Christ in the way that we live and in our actions. We love you so much, and we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.